The theme of today's gathering is unlocking the podcast mainstream. And if there's one company that knows how to unlock a mainstream, it is Google. I am thrilled to say that our keynote speaker today is the founder and head of product for Google Podcasts. This is the person who is developing the mission, and specifically the mission is to double podcast listening in the next few years. That's a mighty task, but hey, it's Google. And at the beginning of last year, I think it would be difficult for most anybody to articulate what Google's podcast strategy was, but now it's becoming more clear, it's becoming more publicized, thanks in part to Steve Pratt, who is going to manage the conversation we're about to listen to. Steve Pratt is the co-owner of Pacific Content, and the Google head of this product is Zach Renaud-Wedin. So please join me in welcoming Zach Renaud-Wedin and Steve Pratt. Thank you.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Zach.
Thanks.
Hello. Thanks to everybody for coming. We have a ton of stuff to get through in 30 minutes. We got 30 minutes. We're going to dig right in, and we're going to go fast, and there's going to be lots. So,
sounds good. Tell me if I'm talking too fast or too slow.
Yeah, so out of the gate, Brad just mentioned it. A lot of us have stretch business goals. Most of them are not double worldwide podcasting in a few years. It's an insanely big, awesome, exciting goal. You're 8 months in. How's it going?
Things are going really well. I guess just poll of the audience, how many of you have heard of Google Podcasts? Okay, better than the poll I did on the subway. still, not everyone's hand was up. So just to kind of give a little bit of a history and also tie it to where we're going. All of you, I'm sure, have noticed, and so did we, that over the past few years, there's been kind of an explosion in the number, the variety, and the quality of podcasts available, especially in the English language, but also around the world in all languages. So I joined a Google search team almost 4 years ago now, and one of the first things I noticed was when you do searches on Google, it's really easy to find great videos, read great articles, and find images, but audio stories are not as accessible. And so one of the first things we did is just try to make it really simple to find an audio story. And as we dug into that, we found that actually the greatest area of creativity right now is podcasts. And we built that, we launched it, people searched for podcasts, they play them, that was great. But we realized that people were actually coming back day in and day out. As I'm sure all of you know who are involved in podcasting, it's a really addictive behavior because there's new content available and it's interesting. And it's not one of the awesome things that makes it feel really wholesome to work on is it's not always addictive in the way where it feels like you should be doing something else. In fact, you often are doing something else. You might be at the gym or folding laundry or cooking dinner. So it really feels nice to be investing in that. So seeing everyone come back day in, day out, we decided we needed a good experience for returning users. And that led us to build the Google Podcast app. And we decided to start with Android because there are 2 billion people worldwide using Android. And those are kind of like the scale of the numbers that gives us the audacity to talk about helping double worldwide podcast listening. So we thought that a lot of people who are listening to podcasts are actually listening on iPhones. But there are 2 billion Android users worldwide, and we want to help them discover podcasts in the same way. So we launched the Google Podcast app last June, and we've kind of spent the last 8 months really solidifying the app, helping get the word out about it, and we're really encouraged by what we see. To answer your original question, the two things that we're encouraged by are the organic growth. Just month in and month out, we see a lot more people coming to the app, and then even more importantly, the retention. And what that means, it's kind of like a techie term, but what that means is that the average person who uses our app each month or each day is actually using it many times, listening to a lot of content, and discovering a lot of new podcasts. So we feel really confident, and 2019 for us is about spreading that experience. We feel like it was really important to be iterating out in the open, getting feedback from people like those in this room, and also from our end users. And now we feel like we're in a place where the product has a good fit in the market, and we're ready to start growing it.
So I feel like everybody, when you announced this last year, everybody expected you to go from zero to like the number two podcast app in the world instantly. And I guess I want to ask you in terms of context of what the strategy is for getting to doubling worldwide. To me, it seems like, you know, you got this chunk of people who listen to podcasts all the time, and there's a whole bunch of people all around the world who don't listen to it yet. And, you know, the expectation that you're going to go from zero to a huge number overnight is more around the idea of people switching apps or something like that versus this process of helping people discover that something they've never done before and onboard them, which feels like it's a bit of a slower process. Like, can you talk a little around the expectations when you launched versus what the reality of the onboarding to this growth is?
Sure. So first of all, we invite those expectations. I think having people in the industry put pressure on us to grow and put pressure on us to get the word out is actually really helpful. And we understand that we want to grow a great product, and we want to do it in a way that adds as much value as Google possibly can. So we started by launching Google Podcast app for Android, which is also integrated with Google Assistant, so you can pause on your Google Home and resume within the app, which is nice if you're listening to a long podcast, maybe you don't finish it on your commute home. But it's true what you said, that once we have that great product, we want to figure out how to really grow it and help double worldwide podcast listening. And there are a bunch of angles here. So I just mentioned Google Assistant, which many millions of people are using every day. Lots of people are buying Google Home speakers and interacting with them in their house. And then also, there are a lot of other places that people can find podcasts. And so one of them is Google Search. Over 1 billion people every day are searching on Google for podcasts. Like, how many people here have used Google in the past day? And how many listened to a podcast today? Right, so a lot of you did both, but even more people search Google. And that's another opportunity to give people a great audio story that they might enjoy. So that's an opportunity to grow podcasting. And then there are a lot of other areas where people interact with Google every day. To give you one example, how many people, this has turned into like a market research interview, how many people have Android? And so like a little less than half of you, which is typical for like the podcasting world. But Android has an experience called Discover, which is kind of like a feed of articles and videos and stories. And we want to weave audio stories in there as well. And that's something that hundreds of millions of people are using. And it's a great browsy experience where you might actually have time to sit down for an audio story. So being able to talk about numbers like over 1 billion and 100 million when we're talking about every day, if we introduce even a small percentage to start of those users to podcasts, it can make a meaningful difference to the reach that podcasters are getting and the discovery experience that listeners are having.
So the one thing you're going to find over the rest of this is that this, like, I think you're starting to get a sense of it, is this is not just a podcast app. This is a big holistic vision that is taking advantage of all of Google's superpowers to do this. So I'm going to kind of jump in at one piece, and we'll go through them bit by bit to kind of build out the ecosystem of your thinking around this. Let's just start with the app, even though it's not fully about the app. But having a native podcast app on Android, tell me about why that is so important for onboarding new people who haven't listened before, and how it reduces friction for people who are having that first experience.
Totally. So Steve and I got breakfast this morning, and we were talking about this a bit. Basically, like, we don't think we're going to double worldwide podcast listening by having an app and saying it's better than the other app that you're already using. We want to help double worldwide podcast listening by introducing people who haven't listened to podcasts to podcasts. So to give you an example that's really encouraging, one of our top 5 markets right now is India. And I think there aren't probably many people in this room who see India in their top 5 listening markets. But because it's available on Google Search, and because it's integrated with the Google app on Android out of the box, it's lowering the gap between getting a phone and being aware of podcasts and having a convenient podcast experience. And so what we're trying to do is really narrow that awareness gap, which I think is still one of the biggest hurdles to podcasting growth, but then also narrow that convenience gap and make it so that people can find podcasts super easily.
Next step, we'll pull back to search. You mentioned search. I feel like I don't know if everybody fully groks how big a deal that is. It took me a bit to kind of, when we first talked about this, to realize how important that is for discovery. So Google had not been indexing audio in the past, and now audio is being searched and indexed inside regular Google search, completely independent of podcasts, right? Like, this is not part of the app. Can you talk a little bit about that user journey of somebody, again, who's maybe never listened to a podcast, and where audio is going to show up in search, and what that path is like from search into their first podcasting experience ever?
Certainly. So I would like demo, but I don't think people can see my phone screen. So it's not completely independent from Google Podcasts, but it is independent from the Google Podcast app.
Yeah.
In terms of, let's say, if you pull out your Android phone right now and you do a search for Radiolab, what you'll see at the top is a result that has actually the three most recent episodes with play buttons. And if you tap one of those play buttons, even if you've never installed the Google Podcast app, you get kicked into the Google Podcast experience that's fully featured because it's natively integrated with the Google app. And so from there, you can subscribe to the podcast, you can download episodes, you can do anything that you would normally do. And then also, we'll give you the option to go ahead and put that app icon on your home screen so that you can return. So there's a very like gradated approach from, oh, maybe you heard about this podcast Radiolab because your friend was talking about how great one of the episodes was. I first learned about CRISPR, which is like this promising biotech technology, on Radiolab and ran around telling everyone about it. And if I was able to convince more of my friends to get Android phones, I would have had more success peddling the app that way. But basically, if you then tap that button, you can step up to each level of engagement with the experience as you go. So it really helps people. It can be a long journey. It can be multiple months from, oh, you know, my friend told me about a podcast. I tried it out. Then my other friend told me about this other one. Okay, now I've decided I want to be someone who listens to podcasts. And I know we were talking over breakfast about how everyone's really impatient for podcasting to become mainstream. And I think it kind of is mainstream in the US at least already. But to really be something that people do as often as they do a Google search or log into Instagram. And I think that impatience is super healthy because it helps us push forward at the fastest rate that we can. But it's also just true that for each individual who's discovering podcasts for the first time, it's not an overnight thing all the time. And so we want to give people the way of climbing that step ladder that's most convenient to them and that helps them find the best discovery experience.
So there's two interesting use cases. Like, again, if I've never listened to a podcast before, so it may be somebody says you should go listen to Radiolab, the CRISPR episode or something, right? And I may make a little note, and then soon I've got a bunch of things. And eventually, you know, if I'm not a podcast listener, there could be a barrier of having to go find an app to go install and search inside an app versus I go into Google and I type in Radiolab CRISPR and then boom, there's a play button. That feels like a pretty amazing jump forward in terms of reducing friction. The next phase, though, I think is even more interesting, is the Google Translate or the AI piece around transcribing what's inside audio and being able to provide contextual search results that are not about people searching for podcasts, where podcasts can come up as a search result around content. Can you talk about that and where that fits in? Because I think that's also like a big game changer for how people are going to find these things.
Definitely. So we want to make sure that Google is helping out in the way that Google can best. And one of the reasons it's so exciting to be working on podcasts at Google, in addition to the ability to reach listeners on platforms that have over a billion users, is also the ability to build new features based on some of the state-of-the-art technology in a lot of research fields. And one of those is speech-to-text. And when you think about all the different steps that it takes to go from someone publishes a podcast to someone else finds it on Google search, or maybe by asking their Google assistant to play them a podcast they would like, or by finding it in a feed for Discover, there's a lot of really hard technology that goes into that. So first you need to find the podcast episode and realize that it was published, which Google does by crawling the entire internet and indexing all the web pages, many of which are actually RSS feeds in the form of podcasts, or podcasts in the form of RSS feeds. And then once you've indexed that, being able to take that MP3 file and turn it into a transcript allows you to have a lot more data around what podcast is appropriate for the right context. So for example, a lot of the most popular podcasts actually only have a 1 or 2 sentence description because so many of their listeners already know what it's about. But being able to take the transcript and then introduce people who maybe don't even know what This American Life is, which might be hard to believe in this room, but there are a lot of people in that category, you can find it. Like one example is there's an episode where they talk about Rumspringa, and we were actually messing around with this last week, where that podcast we're actually able to find because they talk about it in the podcast, not because it's on the description or in the title. And then once you have that, you actually need to understand what the transcript is about. And Google has this awesome database called the Knowledge Graph, which is like all the things in the world and the connections between them. And that's actually the first product that I worked on in Google Search. So just to give you a quick example, you might have a node in the graph for Barack Obama and a node for Michelle Obama and a connection between them that says spouse. And that's how when you search who is Barack Obama's wife, you get that card at the top that says Michelle Obama is Barack Obama's wife. And we can do that same thing in order to understand podcasts better. And then really, maybe the most special sauce we've already talked about is there are actually 1 billion people already using this every day who we can say, hey, you know, here's a great article, here's a great video, here's a great podcast. And a decent percentage of them might be in their car, might be at the gym, and would choose to listen to the podcast.
And so as you get more into that speech-to-text piece, you can just search CRISPR without the Radiolab, and at some point Radiolab is going to be a great result potentially if you're just searching that.
Definitely. Yeah. And also having a lot of users clicking on Radiolab or listening to Radiolab once they do that search will help the feedback loop know that that's actually a great result. And this has not been announced yet, but I thought it'd be fun to tell you guys here. It's a pretty small feature, but we're starting this week to show in the app results of specific episodes when you search, which is not a huge leap forward, but the cool thing is, on a small scale at first, we're actually using the transcript that's been auto-generated from the audio file to inform the search results. So I think over time that will give us the potential to have the best search experience and also the best proactive experience on the Discover surface and anywhere else where we recommend podcasts to you.
Okay, so the next... All right, hey. So the next piece, we're going to go out one more layer, is voice assistants and smart speakers. I think everybody here knows about the growth of smart speakers. I think there's 100 million of them in market as of the end of last year. Continues to grow. I know some of them have screens, but really this is a voice medium. Let's talk about search results in audio when people are using voice with speakers and voice assistants, and where podcasts can come in. There are different types of audio.
Yeah, so it's really exciting. It's grown faster than most of us thought, I think, definitely even faster than I thought it would. And so it's honestly given even more potential to podcasting. And I think we've talked a lot about this over time, especially because I know you work with clients who are thinking about how to take advantage of this. And one thing that we've talked about is podcasts are actually a more flexible medium than a lot of people think. So if I maybe ask my mom, hey, mom, what's a podcast? You know, she might say, well, it's when like a bunch of people, usually who like unfortunately look kind of similar to each other, from like NPR, like get on and opine for 30 minutes about some esoteric topic. And it's like, okay, maybe that's your experience with podcasts. But also, really what it is just a format for publishing audio to the world. And the same way I think in 1996, if I said, what's a website? You might have said, oh, it's a way to basically put a document available for others to view. We never would have imagined that a website could be your email, or a website could be a full-on word processor or a spreadsheet, or all of the different use cases that have emerged. And the thing that drove that is the audience. Right, you have millions and millions of people coming to the internet, and that creates the opportunity for creative people you know, building Google Docs or Google Sheets or Gmail or all these different services to actually create something that we didn't think was possible before. And I think that the podcasting format has that as well. One that we've talked about in the past is, what if there was a podcast, you know, you were talking about like economics education, and every episode title was just a question, and every episode was actually just a, you know, 30-second to 5-minute answer of like, hey, what is GDP? What's the current account? What's the trade deficit versus surplus, et cetera, all these things that people are learning in their business classes. What if that were just a podcast? And if you're reviewing for an exam and you have a specific question, you could ask the Google Assistant on your Google Home or whatever, hey, you know, what's GDP again? And someone could give you a great curated answer that's actually more engaging and more interesting maybe than having the automated voice read out the Wikipedia page or whatever you might get today.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to me. So like this idea of what we think of a podcast could literally just be a very short, concise utility answer that is the best answer, you know, in terms of like audio SEO. And even just thinking about the context of how people use smart speakers is going to be very different than how they listen to a podcast on their phone commuting, for example, where if you want to know what the GDP is, you don't want a 25-minute episode, probably. You probably want a really short, concise answer. And the fact that a podcast could be that solution, I think, is a real mind warp for a lot of people, but it's really exciting to start thinking about that.
And also, like, once these things have happened, they feel obvious in retrospect. So to give you one example, like, this is just one idea that we had. And honestly, the people in this room are far more qualified to come up with what those innovative applications of podcasting are. But I don't think before 2014, people would have thought that a podcast could be sort of like an interactive way to get new data about a crime that occurred in the past. And now that's like pretty obvious to people that as a podcast is going on, you might have people like call in with tips and inform future episodes. And so that's like a really interesting thing that's happened that I never would have predicted. And we talked in the past about like what's like the next true crime? Is it like, we joke that it's like gardening? It's probably not. You know, really like everyone who's in a creative role in this room should really be like thinking about that and looking for that. Like what's that next genre that's gonna push it forward? What's bringing email to the web or spreadsheets to the web for podcasting?
It's economics definitions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You said huge. No one wants to listen to 25 minutes on GDP, but I'm down with that, right. I don't know.
The next piece of this is that, you know, if you think about what Google does really well with search is trying to provide you with the right answer for the, like, that's most relevant to you in the context that you're in. I think it's really interesting to think about audio in that regard around when is Google going to say, here, audio is a great result in these contexts, and how do you know those sorts of things, and what, you know, what does that actually imply for where voice and audio are going?
So I know, yeah, this one, like, usually generates excitement when we talk is the, like, when you plug your headphones in, your feed should probably have more audio stuff versus when your headphones are not plugged in. And so being aware of, that's a very simple example, but being aware of your context is something that can help Google provide a great discovery experience across media formats and also know when audio is the right option. Because a lot of the time, your hands and eyes might be busy, but your mind is still free. And so that's one of the reasons that smart speakers have taken off so much. But then there are other times where you actually want a video instead, or you just want to read an article because you want to skim it and you don't want to wait for the host of a podcast to plod through various sponsors and email newsletters that you should subscribe to. And so we want to know that context. And the great thing about trying to do this at Google is that we're also building specific products and specific experiences for this context. So in January, we launched an Android Auto integration, which puts Google Podcasts in the Android Auto experience. And that's just one example where, because people rely on Google in their car, it's easy to say, hey, here's a podcast if you're in that situation. And I feel like very fortunate to be in a company that's thinking about all these different contexts, because we can then be thoughtful about when we decide to weave podcasts in versus when we decide maybe it's not the best situation. You actually are on the subway and you don't have headphones, and if we play a podcast, it'll just, you know, be the second most annoying thing after whatever else is going on.
Headphones. Yeah. Yes. But that's super interesting too, because even within audio, when it knows the, you know, audio is the right thing to suggest, a car ride might suggest different audio than a smart speaker, because you may be looking for more utility in a smart speaker, and a car might be different. Even just acknowledging, and I know this is really obvious, and probably everybody gets it, but sometimes I need to have a gut check that smart speakers aren't the speakers, it's the voice assistant, and the voice assistant is going everywhere.
Yeah.
Now.
I think that's totally right. And so the example we gave earlier, the 2-minute definition of GDP might be perfect for your Google Home while you're cooking dinner and also reviewing for your economics test. But the if you're in the car,
the 25 minutes on the GDP, pretty good for your commute.
Yeah, like if you're in the like the Indicator is a great podcast that often does spend not 25 but 10 minutes on a cool metric that you might want to learn more about. And so, you know, knowing that context is crucial to providing the best experience.
I'm going to go one more step back out.
Yes.
The world. I know that, you know, most of us in the podcast industry focus very heavily on North America and particularly the U.S. market. Android has a huge, you know, footprint outside of North America, you know, where you're disproportionately heavy Android users. Can you talk a little bit about global growth and bringing on people from different cultures and backgrounds and countries into podcasting and how what that made due to how we see podcasts in the future?
Sure. So we've always kind of responded to the data that we see. Like from the first thing we talked about, how we saw that people were coming back to the search experience, even though it was originally designed to be more of a transient experience. It's the same when we look at international growth. And honestly, having people talking about Google Podcasts and helping promote Google Podcasts and their own podcasts on Google Podcasts is super helpful for understanding where there are pockets of growth. And so launching the app back in June, we were actually surprised to see some of the growth markets were outside of where podcasting is most popular today. So I mentioned India. Another one is Brazil. We see a lot of growth there. And that's really encouraging and allows us to double down and take another step forward where we actually feel confident that there's demand there. And then on the other side, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more at the end, is the creation side. In English, in the US, it seems like there are enough podcasts that most people can find something that they like, even though there should be a lot more and a greater diversity of podcasts available here as well. And it's people like us, our job to help you find what's best for you, even because right now it can feel like a little bit of wading through an ocean. But in India, for example, where people speak tons of different languages, people are often in situations where their hands and eyes are busy, commuting. There's a lot of traffic if you haven't been to New Delhi. And also where sometimes people prefer to listen versus to read. There's more of a culture of oral history. And also literacy rates are not always as high. Podcasts can be a really great way to promote education and help people learn new things and have a better day. And seeing that take off with the data just gives us all that much more conviction to say, yeah, we want to lean into this. And we want to make sure that we're helping promote the production of stories in those languages for those contexts as well. Because frankly, if you try to find great podcasts in Hindi, it's a much shorter list than it is in English.
And I know this is like a potential thing way down the road and doesn't exist yet, but the other thing that I find is so exciting to think about is the Google Translate for being able to make any language created anywhere in the world accessible to anybody. Do you want to? I know it's not real yet, but.
Yeah, so we talked earlier about using transcription to help with search, and I think that's a great first application because as long as you can extract great keywords, you can also use those to have great discovery. But in the future, if you get the whole transcript perfectly accurate, you can also translate it to different languages and improve accessibility for people.
Okay, we're going to start wrapping up here because we only have a couple minutes, but I want to talk to you a little bit around Google and your place in the overall podcast ecosystem.
Okay.
Massive news about Spotify, acquiring Gimlet and Anchor. We had Luminary launch yesterday in the New York Times as kind of a subscription model, but, you know, exclusive content only on those platforms. You guys have a pretty different approach, it seems like, of being fully open. And, you know, can you talk about where you see your place in the industry compared to some of these, and whether big podcast acquisitions are in your future as well as this is coming?
To some extent. To some extent, I can talk about it. So in general, we're really excited with all the investment that's going on throughout the industry and all the different strategies that are being pursued. And you're right that Google's strategy for now is to help promote an open ecosystem, and we think that gives a lot of power to creators, and we think that's a really good way to do it. But we're also really excited to see that everyone's investing. We feel like it's still kind of a new frontier. And so the more people that are contributing to pushing it forward, the better. The more investment that's going on, the better. And that's why our goal is to help double worldwide podcast listening. That's why we're focused on bringing new users into the fold, not on having like a particular market share or competing with someone else. So really, like, I guess just to wrap up in terms of how we're prioritizing things for this year, it's much more focused on ourselves than on necessarily what's going on elsewhere, because we think Google's in a unique position with billions of people using Google Search and Discover and the Google Assistant. So kind of the four pillars that we're focused on are building a great podcast app, which we feel like we've started with Google Podcasts, making it available everywhere you are, whether that's around the world, throughout Google products, or throughout the different platforms that you use in your day, from your Google Home to your Android phone to various other devices. And then also making the experience feel like it's built for you, which we do with bringing you episodes, whether it's in search or in these discovery experiences that we feel like are tailored to you for the context you're in. And then finally, the fourth bucket, and kind of like if you memorize these buckets, which I'm not asking any of you to do, you'll see that every announcement that we make and every feature that we launch fits at least into one of them. The fourth one is around empowering publishers to create and sustain content and businesses for their listeners. And that one, we recently kicked off the first round of the Google Podcast Creator Program, which we're partnered with PRX on. I know Kerry Hoffman is on a great panel later today on measurement. We're really excited about that and increasing the diversity of voices in podcasting. And kind of like we were talking about India earlier, one of the co-chairs of that program is actually Amit Doshi, who's based in Mumbai. So we're very excited about that in 2014, and I mean, sorry, 2019. Stay tuned.
Thanks very much. It's a really, really compelling vision, and it's the biggest holistic vision for podcasting I've heard. So, Dr. Renaud Wedin, good luck.
Thank you. Yeah. And I know we didn't have time for Q&A, but everyone should feel empowered. I'll be around all day. Please come say hi, and then also I'll make sure to monitor like Twitter if people have questions, because we really want to make sure we're doing this stuff out in the open, because the feedback from all of you has been invaluable in the process so far. So I'm just Zach RW, or anytime in the halls. It's really helpful, so don't be shy. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Steve.